Welcome to Bad Wheel, a conversation about symbols, meaning, and practice. I'm Pintu, and with me is my co-host James. Welcome, James.
Hello, Pintu. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Thank you for taking the time. Love to discuss a few things about meditation. I want to hear from you on, there's a lot of different articles, books, ways people do meditation, and I would love to have you help us break down what are the different things out there. Because when I talk to some folks and I say, oh, I do meditation, or hey, you know, have you tried meditation? And then I sometimes mention, like, well, I do it for an hour. They're like, holy smokes, that's such a long time. I can only do 2 minutes. I'm like, well, what type of meditation are you doing? So I think there are different types, clearly. So I'd love to hear from you. What's the taxonomy?
Well, I think we can figure out the taxonomy together, but let's address two components of something that you just said. One is the concept of a stereotype. All of these, you know, opinions you hear from people on the street that are asking you these questions. Oh, I thought it's a stereotype of meditation or what meditation is. And, you know, culturally, that stereotype is going to vary a lot. I'll go with, I live in Los Angeles, right? So in Los Angeles, California, there's actually a pretty decent amount of meditation out here. But I think most people are going to kind of assume a new age type of meditation, or they're going to assume a meditation that's done via a mindfulness app, something where, especially if someone's complaining for about an hour that, you know, they're saying, oh my God, you did it for an hour. They're probably thinking of, was it like a Headspace kind of app, or
which has like 5 minutes or something, right?
Yeah, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And it's just a basic sitting meditation.
Right.
And then the other component is going back to the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, and how the Eightfold Path is broken into three segments. And one of the segments is meditation. Here's where we get our kind of differing definitions in terms of, one is a very specific stereotype in terms of a very, very specific practice that you can do. And then the other is this much broader definition of meditation, in which it's going to include awareness, concentration, and diligence. So meditation, from kind of the original Eightfold Path perspective, is actually a very broad practice with lots of different ways or types of meditation. And so here's where I think we can come up with a taxonomy that can broadly break down that big group into four more specific groups. And then with inside those, you might have your mindfulness app one. So here's my proposal. I'll throw you the proposal to you, and then you can.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So first of all, we're going to think of, again, what is meditation? What are we trying to accomplish? Back to the fourfold path. We're trying to fix our wheel. We're trying to cease feeling dukkha in an active way. Meditation is an active way to which we can cease feeling this frustration. So meditation is a form of engagement. And so what you kind of can think of it as is, meditation is an engagement with dot, dot, dot. All right. What are we engaging with when we meditate? So the four I've written down are, number one, material engagement.
Okay. Material.
This is having an object that holds your concentration that you meditate through. This is a type of meditation which I would suggest includes painting, playing music, anything where there's a, you know, an artistic place where you become laser focused, and it's just, you know, the rest of the world drops away and it's just you performing this very specific act through some sort of tool, some sort of material.
Okay.
Number two, body engagement. In this one, that object is just yourself. You can focus right. on your fingertips, your toes, your, you know, again, just your breathing. Number three, contemplative engagement, where the object is really memory, thought, words and concepts, stuff for you to reflect upon. And then last, the one that's probably the most challenging, but the one that I think, honestly, people might think is, this is maybe the stereotype that people most closely associate with meditation. It's empty engagement, which is an objectless concentration.
And that, okay, so empty, perfect. So we'll get into that one. So we got material, the body, you got your
mind, contemplative.
Mind.
Yep.
Right. Contemplative. Right. And then we got the emptiness one, right?
Yeah. Enough. A way to be present, but with nothing.
Nothing. It's, no particular thought, feeling per se.
Yeah. It's the very Zen version of having meditation, but I think it's a little bit more challenging when you think about it in terms of consciousness and awareness. And what do you mean you're not concentrating, but you are concentrating, right? You are aware, but you're not aware. You know, what does that really mean? What does that really feel like?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think those are good for, I have some questions on each ones, and we can go through them a little bit. And maybe you can give some examples, because I think that would be great for the audience, for me, to understand a little bit of, honestly, which ones I've done or which ones I've tried and which ones I need to probably explore a bit more. So let's kick it off with the material object one, which could be, like you mentioned, a musical instrument. It could be something that you're holding and or using physically as you are doing a sense of meditation.
This one, we can kind of go back also to our potter's wheel analogy. In fact, that's a great one, because you can quite literally go and take a pottery class, and you're just there. It's you and the clay, and you're shaping it. And back to this idea that the whole concept of meditation is a combination of, if you're already there, we're checking off diligence. You've showed up. Congratulations. Good job. And now concentration and awareness, paying attention to what you're doing, making a decision, applying that decision. And so any sort of task that you can do, this is one of my pushbacks to kind of what you talked about at the beginning in terms of how people think about meditation and what meditation right. can be. Meditation can be anything, especially when you talk about people who are, you know, you might call someone an artisan, but just remember that to become an artisan, that's just a concept of time, right? So if it's your first time going to the pottery studio, you're going to make something that's whatever. It's okay. It'll be fine. You're not going to make a masterwork the first time you sit down. It's the same thing with anyone who plays a musical instrument. There is no one who, even the people who are really, really good I never took a lesson, they still learned by ear or whatever it was.
Correct.
Those are still concepts of time. That's diligence. They just kept showing up over and over and over again. And what that diligence gives you is it actually eases your awareness and your concentration, because in the beginning, you have to concentrate hard. You have to pay a lot of attention. You're using a lot of energy. And then with practice over time, that's how you can kind of get into the flow of any individual instrument. So I'll give one that's really basic that I think actually anyone can do if they want. you can practice handwriting. Just as simple as that. You can just, anyone can take a piece of paper and a pen, or most people can take a piece of paper and a pen, and you can just really focus on, say, penmanship. Or let's say you want to learn how to make like an ampersand or something like that. You know, you can, there's something you can do and then do repetitively and then repeat and refine and just, but you keep your focus just there with the pen and the page. And that is a form of meditation because you are practicing awareness and concentration and all of, again, some of the, all that other junk, right, that clouds your mind, it starts to go away the more you practice, the more you can stay in one place and focus, and then you get better at whatever it is that you're doing. That is a material meditation.
So material meditation involves diligence and practice.
Diligence is practice, basically.
But diligence, the way you described it, is based on spending time.
Right, but that time is the practice, the practice of doing something.
The practice of doing something over and over and over again.
I would just include, this is being, maybe we're being a little bit pedantic on the word practice, and so let's maybe work this out. If, let's call it piano practice, right? It's the name of something that you do and you put it on a schedule, right? Your kid has got to, you might even say something like, I have to take my kid to piano practice. That hour is the time that you spend practicing.
Correct.
But the whole hour we call practice. And then the repetition of that is also practice. So diligence is just all of it combined. Diligence is I go every week, you know, I go every day at the same time. I play for an hour and then I do it the next day. That's diligence. All the ways we can frame practice is diligence.
Okay, got it. So now you gave the example of a pottery, something physical. You also gave example of a musical instrument, piano. What about not touching or using? Like you also gave the example of penmanship, right? What about nothing, not something physical that you're touching? Would that still be considered something material? Like if I'm concentrating on a physical object, but I'm not touching it.
How are you? Are you just thinking about it?
I am not thinking about it, but thinking about it at the same time. I'm observing it.
Right. Again, this is now, I don't think in the taxonomy that's material. For this one specifically, it's having it's very specifically having some sort of object that you connect with. Again, let's bring the word engagement back.
Okay.
I'm engaging with something.
Correct. Yep.
And you know, when we talk about again, all the different types of practice or training, that develops words like fluency. Right. I'm fluent at doing something. The more you repeat a certain movement, if you're playing a sport and you're practicing. You know, part of the idea is to drill something down into muscle memory. So later you're not actually thinking about it, quote unquote. Right. And so now when you're playing the game, right. And you get into that game flow, people will also say stuff like, you know, it flows naturally. These are material forms of meditation. If you are say a woodworker and you're, you know, again, focusing on, a lathe or whatever it is, and you're carving something, and again you're paying attention and you're focusing. Again, the training of becoming really good at something is just an accumulation of time. But the nice part about all of these is they have a feedback where the more time you spend with it, the easier it is, the better you get, the easier it is, the better you get, so on and so forth. And the key is your mind is focused on just this one particular thing, right? Where, let's take the opposite, the inverse. If you're distracted, if you're not paying attention, right? If you're losing your focus, if you're at the free throw line and there's no time left on the clock and, you know, somebody yells and it distracts you and you suddenly miss the shot, you're out of it. And so the idea on getting on meditation is finding this singular point of focus. And the nice part about material meditation and why we say anyone can practice it is material meditation is actually easy in terms of just pick something up and start using that something. And then what you tell kids all the time, right? Stick with it.
It'll eventually get better and easier and more fun, right? And you'll get those, like you said, back and forth with whatever it is that you're doing. So for example, if I'm tapping on the keyboard and I'm doing work, but it's giving me information back and forth, it's somewhat a sense of a material thing, right? Yeah. Touching the keyboard, kind of doing.
Absolutely. So we gave like a handwriting example, but when people type and get into a rhythm on the keyboard, if you go into that experiential feeling of all the words are flowing, you know, you maybe got some rhythm going with the fingers, maybe popping that space bar all excitedly as you go.
You and I've talked about this in previous times, but doing the dishes, focusing on doing the dishes, right? A physical thing, focusing on the actual act that you're doing. And I would, maybe this is getting into the next category, but running, right? So it's physical, but you're also using your breath.
Your body now becomes the object, right? So that's why we started with material. Material gives you essentially a crutch. There's a thing that you can use and work through. And now in the body meditation, yes, your physical self, knees, elbows, are the object.
Got it. And that could be people do yoga flows, as an example.
Perfect example.
Tai Chi. It could be any different form of exercise, yeah. Right? I mean, depending on what people want to do. What else? I know you've mentioned walking meditation as another one.
There's very different types of walking meditation. So walking meditation is cool. In terms of, it's actually a good version of getting to some of the other stuff that we talk about in terms of that. And this is, again, the difference between breaking up meditation in a taxonomy and then talking about a very specific type of meditation. So when I talk about a basic walking meditation, that's a type of meditation. That's like a sitting meditation, so on and so forth. It actually... The version that I like to do actually incorporates it has three parts to it that touches on body contemplation and on emptiness.
Okay.
And so do you want me to give the basic example of my basic walking meditation?
I think let's figure out the taxonomy. So the taxonomy is the one, material, second, physical body, right? Using your body as a form of meditation. So it could be a physical type of exercise, running, yoga flow,
Tai Chi, any martial arts. But then honestly, you know, the extended sitting sessions are body meditations.
A form of, yes, definitely. And I think the important part here, what I'm picking up from you is that text, that particular definition, body meditation, is the fact that you are using your body for getting into the diligence, right, of some sort. And of course, like, you know, we can get into the walking meditation type you have, which combines a few of these, that's fine. But in this simplest sense, it's just using your body as a mechanism for meditation.
The word I keep coming back to, right, is object. And when I say object, maybe I should also clarify that a bit. When I say object, I'm talking about a focal point for your consciousness. Like, what is your consciousness focused upon? What is the object of your consciousness? And so, again, in the material world, in the material versions, we have an object. Let's call it, we're going to keep jumping around. It's a guitar now, right? But the guitar is the object. Sure. And I'm paying attention with awareness, and then I'm concentrating in terms of, you know, playing the music. In the body meditation, the object of your consciousness is your body. So yes, you are very focused on your how you're walking or how you're running, what your gait is, how your breath is, where your chin is, where your shoulders are, how does everything feel. And then if you want to, it's up to you, right, in terms of the idea of becoming an endurance athlete or whatever and pushing past certain boundaries. But that's a form of my focus is on my body.
Got it. So we got material, a body. Now you got memory, right? Or something that the object is in your head.
Yes.
Right.
The other way
to concentrate on.
Right. Like the other way we can kind of think about this is, this is like an introverted meditation. So this is your contemplative. This is your let's review something and process it. And one of the reasons it's important to call this one out is because this one can be useful, and you just want to make sure you separate it. So what happens with I think a lot of people, they do sitting meditation, and our stereotypical sitting meditation is all about emptying the mind. So they're trying to get you to not think about something, but your mind really does want to think about something. And sometimes it's okay to think about something. This is where, again, the idea of the word practice and separating out our practice into different types of practice. You can compartmentalize the contemplative meditation away from the sitting emptiness meditation. And it's actually kind of a healthy way to do things because, you know, part of the challenge is you want to empty your mind, but you don't want to ignore your mind. And sometimes you do. Yeah. Again, like sometimes you do want to work something out or you want to process something. There needs to be space for that. Then, you know, it needs to be something that's okay. And there's different types of meditation that's, you know, there are contemplative meditations, and this is actually a fairly deep category in terms of, you know, there's loving kindness. There's something known as Toglen. You'll hear a lot of these different types of meditation that are all about processing thoughts and emotion.
Perfect. Yeah. And that could be, like you said, it could be a specific thing that you're thinking about. It could be a physical object you're thinking about. It could be maybe even a mantra that you're saying in your head.
Yeah. I mean, famously mantras, back to the idea of object and the point of, you know, what your consciousness is focused on. That's what a mantra is supposed to do. Is a mantra is supposed to provide you a focal point to develop a, you know, a deep dive down into concentration. So one of the ones that's a little bit fun in left field. Our good friend David Lynch famously was a proponent of transcendental meditation. And transcendental meditation is very much focused on having a mantra and using that mantra to get yourself into a deep focused state.
And then the last one is none of these. And focusing on what exactly then?
So the idea of the empty one. So this one's fun in terms of, I think, let's talk about, again, the stereotypical meditation, which is really a form of Zazen. So in Zen, which is, you know, the most popular Western version of Buddhism, there's a sitting practice, and this sitting practice is meant to empty the mind, right? And which is, again, a good process. And usually in your meditation app, again, you're using a focal point, and that focal point is now your breath, right? A lot of the times, again, if you're using some sort of mindfulness app, they're telling you to focus on your breath. That becomes your focal point. You just focus on your breath. Depending on breathing, some have, you know, some will tell you just to watch your breath. You know, some tell you to like control it in the beginning and then let it go. There's a couple of different versions of that. But one of the reasons, I think maybe you kind of mentioned the idea of like having an object in your vision to focus on.
Right. Yep.
Is you're trying to maintain your awareness and your concentration. You're trying to be fully open and aware. The idea is that it's just completely loose in every direction. So the idea would be that if you're looking out and around and something, you know, flies past your vision, you can still see that object and recognize it, but you hold it gently and you let it go as soon as it's gone. It is, you know, the idea again of living in the present is you aren't thinking about the past. You're not thinking about the future. So those contemplative things, those are gone, right? You're in the ideal platonic sense of being in the moment, which is they're connected to all of your senses, but not thinking about them in any way.
Right. You are not thinking about what happened a moment ago. You're not thinking about 2 days ago. You're not thinking about 2 years ago. You're not thinking about tomorrow or even an hour from now. You are here and now, like you said, holding it gently and letting it be the way it is.
And one of the ways that I really have to tell you about this dream that I had recently sometime. So maybe we can come back later to lucid dreams, because I have a wonderful analogy that can tie to this. There's one more.
Go ahead. The component? Yeah.
You know, what we're talking about in terms of this emptiness and seeing stuff move, the part that's falling away, the part that we're really letting go of, and why we're talking about the word emptiness, and this will even, I'll even mention a mantra that we can do a mantra follow up later. There's a mantra: form is empty, emptiness is form. This empty meditation, when you get there and you feel it, the weird thing, and when we talk about you, what it is you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about thoughts. You're not having an inner monologue. The voice inside your head does not exist. There's no language present. It's just form. So again, yeah, you see shapes and you hear sounds, but there's, you know, like what you've basically done is you feel kind of like the processing layer go away.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe another analogy I could throw out there, like, you know, imagine you're watching a game And typically there's a play-by-play person and a color commentary person. And that's kind of how you walk around a lot of your days, right? Is you're seeing stuff, and then in your brain, you're commenting on the stuff as you see it.
On the thing. Yeah.
Just imagine that goes on mute.
Yeah. The commentator is not no longer there.
It's just,
but yeah. You're observing
yeah.
what's happening.
Everything's
with
still
no happening. Right. With no in the interior monologue or any opinion about what's happening.
Correct. So that's
almost
be...
like a it's almost like a out of body experience where you're taking a look at your observations and that's it. So the commentator is the observer in a way, right? In that, if you look at that analogy, but that's all they're doing, but they're not actually commenting on it or thinking even about the commentating aspect of things.
We can even go back to our potter analogy and our ball of clay, right? So if you think about your whole consciousness as this just ball of clay, our idea of having a perception and then a commentator means there's some shape. It's almost, you know, like you formed a separate ball that then reflects upon another ball. You've taken your clay and you've stretched it. So now that it, again, this is this feeling of dukkha. I feel separated. I feel I'm seeing the world in two separate ways at the same time. The emptiness meditation is trying to get us to being like, yes, fold everything back in. Fold all of the clay back together and just be a ball of clay, which is why it's also very, again, different than, say, like, again, a material meditation, because in the material meditation, you're trying to actually purposely shape that clay for some particular use.
That makes a whole lot of sense. So that I really want to get to the taxonomy, because there are forms of, I know, meditation that we talked about. You were going to get into the walking meditation. I know you really have a great example of a dream thing that you want to talk about. I have a couple of examples of meditations that I do that may be a form of multiple different ones that we discussed today. But before we get into any of those, I'd love to hear about your dream and how it kind of correlates to a lot of the taxonomy that we just talked about.
Okay, let's do the dream. So I had this weird dream the other night, and the sort of prerequisite is or like the knowledge everyone needs to have. I am a lucid dreamer. And the way I describe having a lucid dream is the first step is recognition. You can recognize that you're in a dream. And then once you're cognizant of the dream, the main thing is it's like you can change the channel. So most of the time my lucid dreaming is being kind of, this dream's not that great. And, you know, like you kind of click the button. And I don't have a choice of where I go, but it's like pressing almost like a randomizer button. So like everything kind of like shakes up and it's just like, oh hey, new dream. And so anyway, I was having this dream the other night, and it was a really interesting dream because it was a very sort of like deep reference dream in terms of the reason I recognized it is because it was surprising. So for some reason, I'm on like a consulting trip to Adelaide, Australia. And all of the details are fuzzy and they don't matter. It's just, okay. You know, I'm on some sort of business consulting trip. But for some reason, the person that's with me is a coworker that's so deep in my sort of like history that if you would ask me consciously to like name a random coworker who would appear with you as the consultant that came with you on a trip, this person would not even make like the top 50. And so, but the dream kind of picked this person because they had the right characteristics that kind of fit the story of the dream. So there's still stuff going on in the background of the dream where like the dream has a bit of logic and it's like grabbing stuff from your subconscious that makes sense to tell the semi-cohesive story. But I'm just so befuddled by the fact that like, who, like, how is this person here? And so now I'm very aware that I'm dreaming. I'm like, this is so, like, I'm very conscious. Like, it's so weird that you're here right now. Like, oh, man, this is a deep hole of my own subconsciousness. So anyway, the dream kind of has the thing where, again, dream logic wise, it transitions. Now that person's gone. And I'm now in a place that's like outside of Adelaide, but not outside of Adelaide, right? It's not a real place, but it's a very dreamy place that's like, it fits. It's a, how can I explain it? It's like in the beginning of a video game where there's like a central location that has different varieties of locales that you could head off to later. So to the left is like the ocean and to the right are the mountains. And over here is like grassy plains. It's a weird idyllic sort of setting. And I decide to head down to the ocean, but then I have this weird deja vu as I'm at the ocean, which is, this looks familiar. So I'm trying to now, as someone who can recognize their dreams and that they're dreaming, I'm trying to figure out, am I having a dream of a memory I've had before, but it still feels off. So I'm now trying to place it. So when you were just talking about, you know, earlier having a consciousness that like looks back and is like thinking about what the other consciousness is thinking, yeah. I'm starting to separate now. Because I'm becoming very cognizant that I'm having these dreams that have these features, but I can't quite figure out, wait a minute. It's almost like the dream where you felt like you awoke, but you didn't, and it feels sort of weird, right? Well, I'm kind of trying to understand where I am, because I feel like I've seen it before. I'm like, where did this come from? And so now I'm wondering, have I not been here literally, physically, but maybe I've seen, say, a YouTube video or something like that.
Or picture, or someone sent you an image. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm incorporating that. And so now that I have this idea, like, okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm you know, or maybe I'm re-remembering an old dream. But again, like the place is surreal. Like it's, you know, when you think about what all the components are, it still doesn't make sense. It's like still too perfect of a place. It has weirdly anything and still also random stuff happens. Right. And so eventually I get to this idea where, okay, maybe I did see it in a YouTube video. And here's where my dream goes to like the full psychedelic level. I'm now watching YouTube. So if you can, like, here's the trippy part, right? So if you can imagine you're looking out and you can see the ocean and you can see the beach and, like, you know, platypuses or whatever. Again, it's this Australia thing that's this hyper Australia. So it's got every bit of Australia. And but now, like, pull out and suddenly see kind of like the pictures like in a frame, and like you're looking on the screen. And so you're seeing what you were just seeing, but now it's a screen in front of you. And this idea again on form, and then like thinking about that form and narrating that form. So I'm looking at it. I'm looking at this video on YouTube, and in the dream, this is the craziest part, I mute the video. So all of the sound drops away. And when the sound drops away, all of, like, even my internal monologue, even my thoughts drop away. I'm just seeing complete and utter form. Just
the ocean. Yeah. Just
pure form.
Hmm.
And now I'm fully in two spheres, because now I can flip back to the other sphere that's almost a purely language-based sphere, and just being like, what now? And now I can think about it, right, and contemplate it. I'm just like, wow, like, what just happened? Like, you know, this person that's talking right now went away for a second, didn't exist. But then I can kind of toggle back to that person. Then I can toggle back to form. And so it was a very interesting dream. I woke up thinking, man, I can't wait till we can do our next podcast so I can talk about it.
But that's like, it's interesting. It's interesting because it's almost like that mute button is, or that unmute button becomes your state of, almost like a state of meditation, of form, right? But not having your own monologue as a part of it, which gives you the opinion, it gives you the lack of meditation, but you can mute it and then becomes like you're outside looking in, right, into something with no sense of opinion about it. It's just a thing.
And so the biggest thing that I ended up taking away from it, though, is, again, thinking about how we maybe misplace ourself or who we are or who we think is us. Clearly, I'm not the monologue because I can mute that monologue. So the lucidity of the ability to have a lucid dream, there's a deeper sort of function switch, right, that I can toggle that basically says, here's the world of form, here's the world of words and thoughts and language, and neither are me, but then all are me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really a great dream. Great. Thank you for sharing a lot of that, because it ties in great, very well with our form of, and also our different taxonomies of meditation. And a lot of what I would love to get into next time is, what is walking meditation, the type that you practice? And I would love to get into a little bit of something that I call blankfulness, and what is that, and how does that tie into everything that we just talked about? And last but not least is a form of meditation that I practice daily, which is Vipassana, and how this ties into everything that we just talked about. I want to thank you for your time, James, and I want to thank the listeners for following along.
Be excellent to each other.